WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Is up, beautiful people. You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It is June 29th, 2016. That's right. Happy, happy hump day. That's right. It is a Wednesday, folks, and it is B-E-A beautiful here in mid-Michigan. The sun is out, the birds are chirping, the grass is green, and we plan on making your day even better with a fantastic hour here on WKAR. AM 870, we will talk about the Detroit Tigers as they rallied from behind in a pretty big way to top the Miami Marlins last night. We will tell you how they did that. Also, Jim Harbaugh has decided to offer a scholarship to a pretty young pup. We will tell you who that is. We will also invite Deshaun Tate. He's a sports host and producer for CBS Radio 92.9 The Game out in Atlanta, Georgia. Deshaun will join us to talk about NBA free agency, the NBA draft, that and more with Deshaun. You don't want to miss that chat. And he'll also talk about the basketball landscape that is the ATL. And on the back end of the show, we will chat about a certain NBA superstar by the name of Dwayne Wade, who is reportedly thinking about other offers and possibly taking an offer from a team other than the Miami Heat. That and more. If you want to be a part of today's show, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527, or you can go to facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. But hey, you know how we start this party. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. All right, folks, we start with news concerning the Michigan State women's golf team. Former Michigan State All-American and Big Ten Golfer of the Year, Caroline Powers, has been named Assistant Women's Golf Coach. 20th year head coach Stacy Slobotnick-Stoll announced that news yesterday, named the 2013 Big Ten Women's Golfer of the Year. Powers completed her career as the school's all-time holder in scoring average and owns three of the top four single-season scoring averages in program history. The most decorated women's golfer in Michigan State history, Powers is one of only two women's athletes ever at Michigan State to earn the Alderton Award, not one, not two, but three times. After graduating from Michigan State in 2013, Powers has been playing on the Symetra Tour. She has posted 11 top 20 finishes, including a career best fourth place at the 2014 Firekeepers Casino Hotel Championship that takes place out in Battle Creek, Michigan. The attorney for former Michigan State basketball star Mateen Cleaves on Tuesday asked a Flint judge to remove the Wayne County Prosecutor's Office from the rape case because the alleged victim worked for the county on a sexual child abuse task force. Now, Cleaves took, he looked on from the defense table as his wife and family members who packed the courtroom watched the proceedings. Two motions also ask for a competency evaluation of the alleged victim as well as her psychological record. A hearing on those motions is scheduled for next month, July 29th. The date for the preliminary examination was not yet decided upon, but it might happen the same day depending on the outcome of those motions. U of M football offered a scholarship to 2020 quarterback prospect Sol J. Maiva. According to youth1.com, Maiva is 6 feet one and 180 pounds and will attend Hawaii's Kahuku High this fall. Michigan has offered eighth graders before, but not often. Last year, the Wolverines were among the first to offer 2019 linebacker Owen Papo. U of M has a commitment from 2017's number one QB Dylan McCaffrey, but quarterbacks in the later recruiting classes have yet to make their decisions. Former Central Michigan University and Indianapolis Colts running back Zerline Tipton, folks, sadly passed away yesterday after he accidentally shot himself in the stomach at a car dealership while reaching into a bag that held two firearms. Tipton's death was confirmed Tuesday afternoon by the Wayne County Medical Examiner's Office. An autopsy is scheduled for today. The shooting occurred as the 26-year-old Detroit native placed personal belongings into a bag containing the firearms. It remained unclear on Tuesday who owned the weapons or why Tipton was even carrying them. We'll have more on that story later this hour, folks. All right, Miguel Cabrera haunted his old team for a 3-run homer as part of a 7-run fifth inning, lifting the Detroit Tigers out of their 3-game losing streak with a 7-5 win over the Miami Marlins last night at Comerica Park. Detroit entered the fifth with a 3-0 deficit and more errors than hits against Miami starter Adam Conley, who struck out 9 of the Tigers' first 16 batters. He was hot, but gave up 5 consecutive base runners from there to end his outing. Jose Iglesias' 2-run homer put the D on the scoreboard before Ian Kinsler's double and Cameron Maybin's walk set up Cabrera for his 17th homer of the year. Nick Castellanos added a 2-run homer off of Nick Whitgren. Daniel Norris makes his second start of the season for the D in Wednesday's series finale against the Marlins. He allowed 3 runs on 6 hits over 5 innings last Thursday against the Mariners, striking out 5 in a no decision. Tigers pitcher Anibal Sanchez is headed back to the bullpen. The 32-year-old Sanchez was already removed from the starting rotation once this year when he was demoted in early June after a string of poor performances, and manager Brad Ausmus informed reporters in Tuesday's pregame news briefing that's where he would return. This news comes after a brief shot at redemption for Sanchez, who was used in the club's short-lived 6-man rotation but delivered a lackluster outing in Saturday's 6-0 shutout loss to the Cleveland Indians. Second-year forward Stanley Johnson and rookies Henry Ellenson and Michael Benajay, plus former Michigan State big man Derek Nix. How about that? Highlight the Detroit Pistons' 2016 Orlando Summer League roster. The team announced the roster Tuesday evening, leading up to the first game at 3 p.m. Saturday against the New York Knicks. Lorenzo Brown and Darren Hilliard joined the Pistons' Johnson, Ellison, and Benajay on the Summer League roster. And last but not least, Dwayne Wade. That's right, the Flash. His initial contract discussions with the Miami Heat have not produced a common ground between the parties, and he is preparing to field outside offers when free agency opens up on Friday. Now, sources told ESPN.com that Wade's reps have made it known to multiple teams over the past several days that he will be on the market. But some teams have been skeptical, wondering whether Wade would seriously consider leaving the franchise where he has played 13 seasons and won 3 titles. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Our phone lines are open. Call in to be a part of today's show. You know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. Without further ado, I do believe it's about that time to start today's show.
I need an ambulance at Roseville Chrysler Jeep Service Department. The gentleman just shot himself in the stomach.
He just shot himself?
Yeah, his gun went off.
Okay, hang on one second. What's the address there?
25800 Gratiot.
Was it intentional?
No.
Right.
He was unloading his Jeep.
And what is the name of the business here?
Roseville Chrysler Jeep.
What part of the store?
Service department, right at the front.
Service department, if I can one.
Yeah.
You said it the stomach?
Yeah. Yeah, he got himself in the stomach.
All right, hold on 1 second. Then what?
Mark, walk in and flag those dudes down.
Okay. Are you with the patient now?
I'm on the other side of his Jeep. I'm calling from my work phone.
Okay. Are you close enough to him?
Or? Yeah. Yeah, let me take a look. Hold on. I'm going to set the phone down.
Okay.
Oh, he's down on his back right now.
Approximately how old is he?
He's got to be in his late 30s, 40s.
Okay, where's the gun at right now?
It's in his vehicle.
The gun's in the vehicle?
Yeah.
Okay. What kind of gun is it? A handgun?
I didn't see it. I would imagine so.
Okay. Was there more than one shot or was it just one
No,
shot?
Just one.
Okay. Is he awake?
Hey, Craig, is he awake?
Yeah, he is awake.
Is he breathing?
Yes.
And that is how we start today's Current Sports. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Al Martin. What you just heard was the 911 call. Yeah. Concerning Zerline Tipton, former Central Michigan football great, who went on to have a pretty good career with the Indianapolis Colts. He died yesterday after he accidentally shot himself in the stomach at a Roseville car dealership. Tipton was just 26 years old. And you could hear in the 911 call there, Tipton, he was reaching into his vehicle to get a bag that contained two guns, and one of the guns discharged, hitting him. Roseville police said it received notification from St. John Hospital and Medical Center in Detroit that Tipton died from his injuries after the incident about 9:30 a.m. in a service bay at Mike Reel's Roseville Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Gratiot Road. Folks, I'm really getting tired of it, I must say. I am really getting very tired of coming on the air to alert you all of another death in the world of sports. It is getting tiring. It just puts you in a down mood. Sports are supposed to be fun and happy. We spent yesterday's show talking about the life of Pat Summitt, who passed away after being diagnosed with early onset dementia. Also, Buddy Ryan, the orchestrator of that famed 46 Chicago Bears defense that won a Super Bowl back in 1985. We talked about Muhammad Ali and Gordie Howe and Ron Mason. It's really getting exhausting. And for those gun owners out there, we've seen far too often deaths occur due to the mishandling of a weapon, of a gun. We've seen it far too often. I always cringe anytime I hear about a story like Tipton's or a story about, you know, someone mishandling a firearm and it going off that leads to a death. And for those gun owners out there, please act responsibly. Please. I don't know why in the world Zerline Tipton had two guns in his bag, in the car. I don't know why, if he had them, I don't know why the safety wasn't on. I don't get it. I just don't get it sometimes when I hear stories like this. This is a man who had his whole life ahead of him. I mean, only 26 years old. You know, former Central Michigan great, NFL running back with the Colts, you know, making good money, just having a great life. And just like that, and it also goes to show you just never know. You just never know. You know, you could be here today, gone tomorrow, folks. So please live life to its fullest, man, and appreciate every day you are here on this earth breathing. Condolences go out to the Tipton family. I can only imagine what they are going through. I can only imagine, folks. But he will certainly be missed, without a doubt. Without a doubt. And I'm glad that no one else was hurt in this incident, because it could have been worse. It could have been worse. And police said in release, quote, "It is not clear at this time why the subject felt it was necessary to be in possession of two handguns." But I get it. I must say this, too, because I'm from Detroit. I was born and raised on the west side of Detroit, and I saw some things that no young man should see growing up. And I understand the environment of certain areas, certain urban communities that you grow up in. You feel the need to have protection, because the flip side to this, I mean, this is a very successful young man who was in the NFL making a lot of money. But the flip side to this is there are a lot of people out there that are jealous, and there are a lot of people that want to take what you've earned. And I've seen it far too often in the city of Detroit. Sad to say, in the black community, I've seen it far too often. So I do get having protection, but you have to go about it in a different way. You know, if you're that worried about your protection when you go home to your community that you grew up in, that isn't the greatest, hire a bodyguard, you know? I just don't get it. There's other alternatives to it. So, again, thoughts and prayers out to the Tipton family. So we start the show on a bit of a down note here, but folks, we plan on livening up very quickly here. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Also want to pass this news along to you all. One of our listeners chimes in via our Facebook live stream and wants to let everybody know about the Moneyball Pro-Am that starts tomorrow at Aim High, starting at 5:30. There are many Michigan State players that will be balling out. The roster also features 9 players from Michigan, including Derek Walton, Muhammad Ali Abdul-Rahman, Duncan Robinson, Zach Irvin. Michigan State will have 12 players in the event, and included in the group are all four members of the Spartans' incoming freshman class, ranked number 4 in the country, plus more rotation players, Kenny Goins and Lou Rawls, Tum Nairn Jr., both recovering from injuries that ended their seasons. They are scheduled to play. Guard Matt McQuaid is not scheduled to play as he recovers from a stress fracture. But there will be many, many Michigan State players playing in this tourney. And I'm especially excited to see the incoming freshman class for Michigan State, because it is a hefty one, folks. And they are certainly going to tear it up once they get on the campus of Michigan State and really start playing some ball. So the Moneyball Summer League Pro-Am that is orchestrated by, of course, league founder Desmond Ferguson, who is the head coach over at Lansing Everett for the boys basketball team out there. He is putting it on, and I absolutely love going out there to Aim High and checking out these games. If you are a basketball fanatic like me, you want to be in the house each and every Tuesday and Thursday over the next month at Aim High. So check it out. It should be fun. Again, it begins tomorrow at Aim High Sports, which is located in Diamonddale. Games are every Tuesday and Thursday starting at 5:30 p.m. and are free and open to the public. So I thank you, Shonda, for weighing in via our Facebook page and letting the folks know that, because I certainly overlooked it, I tell you that. All right, folks, let's talk about the Detroit Tigers, shall we? The Detroit Tigers, they snapped a 3-game losing streak yesterday as they topped the Miami Marlins in a game filled with a ton of drama, I must say, because the way the Tigers started this game alluded to a 4-game losing streak, I must say. And to talk about the losing streak very briefly here, again, the Tigers are coming off a series, entering this series against the Miami Marlins. The Tigers, they went 0-3 against the Cleveland Indians at home at Comerica Park. After coming off a series, you know, if you just rewind the clock, what, 9 days ago, If you are a Detroit Tigers fan, I mean, watching what the Tigers did to the Seattle Mariners, you would have felt pretty good, without a doubt. I mean, this is a team that swept the Seattle Mariners, and they look to be getting things going. But again, it's the ebb and flow of baseball. I always equate this saying to the game of golf because the game of golf can change hole by hole and stroke by stroke, and it's such a mentally challenging game. But you can equate this saying to the game of baseball as well. I always say, the game of golf, she loves me, she loves me not. From the game of baseball, that certainly can reign true for some of those 500 teams in the league right now because you have such a long season. And I always say, you don't want to get too high, you don't want to get too low when evaluating respective teams. And it is starting to get serious now. I mean, we are approaching the midway point of the season. We are approaching the All-Star break. And this is the point in the year where you have to start playing good baseball if you want to have any shot at making the playoffs. Now, me personally, I think I'm in the majority here when I say that the Detroit Tigers, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. And I'm not crazy in saying that, looking at how the season has gone so far in the first half. And, you look at how well the Cleveland Indians are playing right now. My goodness, they made slight work. Just slight work of the Tigers in that three-game series at home, by the way. And you look at what this team has done in this recent stretch of baseball. I mean, the Cleveland Indians right now are leading the American League Central. They're 46-30. That's a 60% win percentage in the league. The only teams better than that, you look at the Texas Rangers, who are on currently a four-game win streak. They are 51-27, a 65 percentile win percentage there. Other than that, though, I mean, the Baltimore Orioles, they're certainly playing good baseball as well. They're on a six-game win streak, 46-30. But there is no team hotter than the Cleveland Indians right now, also at 46-30 again. They have won 11 straight games. 11 straight games. So when you look at the bigger picture here, yeah, that three-game sweep of the Tigers did not look good. But again, right now, no one can beat the Cleveland Indians. They are that good right now, folks. So you kind of have to take that as it is. But, watching the beginning of that Tigers and Marlins game yesterday, I mean, you thought that it was going to be a four-game losing streak for this team. When you look at how that game started, Detroit entered the fifth inning with a 3-0 deficit, had more errors than hits against Miami starter Adam Conley. They had three errors, two hits. And then Conley is in a complete zone to start that game. He struck out 9 of the Tigers' first 16 batters. It was not a great day up until that fifth inning for the Detroit Tigers lineup. Simple as that. But then, what does Conley do? He gave up 5 consecutive base runners. And that ended his outing. That was it. Kaput. Take Conley out the game. He's mucking it up right now. Jose Iglesias had a 2-run homer to put Detroit on the scoreboard before Ian Kinsler's double and Cameron Maben, who has been fantastic this year, by the way. I just love Cameron Maben, man. I've been a big fan of Maben's dating back to when the Tigers winter caravan came here to Lansing at the new headquarters of the Lansing State Journal, and we were invited out there by AP sports writer and MSU alum Larry Lage to interview the Tigers as they rode through Lansing. And I remember chatting with Cameron Maben because he was just such – he was such full of life, and so excited to be a part of the Detroit Tigers organization and so excited to embark upon this upcoming year. And, of course, we all know about the injury woes to start the year for Cameron. But since he has been a part of this lineup, I mean, he's just been just a breath of fresh air. Absolutely love Maben. And, his walk set up Miguel Cabrera quite nicely for his 17th home run of the season. Miguel Cabrera, we've seen some flashes of the Miguel Cabrera who won the Triple Crown not too long ago, folks, in recent games. Miguel Cabrera has been fantastic. Fantastic. And Interesting stuff here. You know, sound smart with your friends when you bring up this statistic. Cabrera became the 12th active player and the 50th overall to homer against all 30 major league teams in his career. How cool is that? Miguel Cabrera has now hit a homer against every team in the majors. And how fitting, though, folks, that last night's homer to accomplish that very feat came against the very first team that brought him in as a rook, the Miami Marlins. Fitting, right? And, you know, so going back to Adam Conley, I mean, he was great. You know, five runs, until the fifth. He was great until the fifth inning, and where he gave up five runs in five batters. He gave up two home runs. That was a seven-run inning for the Detroit Tigers. And that totally turned things around. And it certainly turned around the mood of which I was going to address the Tigers on this Wednesday edition of Current Sports. So now moving forward, and I have to bring this up too, folks, because this was news that a lot of people were talking about before Tuesday night series opener against the Marlins at Comerica Park. Anibal Sanchez now returns to the bullpen. So his return to the Tigers rotation was just like this. Just real quick. Real quick. Sanchez, who has an ugly 6.71 ERA in 12 starts, he was removed from the rotation, if you remember, back in June 1st. So at the beginning of this month, in six relief appearances this month, Sanchez allowed two runs and nine hits in 92 in three innings with six strikeouts and two walks. So Sanchez now is headed back to relief pitching. Veteran right-hander Mike Pelfrey and rookie left-hander Daniel Norris will round out the back of the rotation. Pelfrey took a 5.19 ERA in 14 starts into Tuesday's start. Norris allowed three runs in five innings against the Mariners in his season debut on Thursday of last week. So, this has to be very frustrating if you are Anibal Sanchez, but at the same time, you left Brad Ausmus, manager of the Tigers, with no choice. He had to make this move. You can't leave in Sanchi, who has been so bad since he's been out there. Again, an ERA over six, almost seven, a 6.71 ERA in 12 starts. You can't do that. You just aren't ready. You aren't ready to go out there and be commanding on the mound. So I like the move from Brad Ausmus in doing this, and I think that Sanchi made it a pretty obvious move here. Ausmus went on to say, quote, "It is different coming out of the pen. When you're starting, you're kind of preparing yourself mentally to go a long distance, and you're pacing yourself to some degree. In relief, you're basically pitching until they tell you you are not pitching anymore. Throw as hard as you can until you are done," end quote. So if you look at Sanchez, this is a man who is in the third year of a five-year, $80 million contract, which was signed after the 2013 season, in which he led the American League with a 2.57 ERA. Not too long ago, Anibal Sanchez was one of the premier pitchers in Major League Baseball. That's the thing about pitching. You know, it's so tough to look down at the end of the road and to see an illustrious career because there's so much wear and tear that is done on your arm over time. Now, granted, I believe that baseball teams baby their starting pitchers a little too much, seeing as though back in the day you had a starting pitcher pitching ideally the entire game. Now, you know, you'll go to about the fifth, sixth, maybe seventh inning if you're hot, but then, you know, you have that bullpen coming in and relieving you. So the wear and tear isn't as bad as it was back in the day, but again, still, you're throwing upwards of 90 miles per hour out there. There's a lot of wear and tear on that arm. And then there are advancements, though, in today's game with Tommy John surgery. But it's wear and tear nonetheless. And Sanchez is no spring chicken anymore. He's 32 years old. Okay? So it's not like he's a young stud anymore. So this was the move to make. This was the right move to make for the Tigers. So the Tigers move on to play the Marlins. This is a two-game set. Right now, they are getting it on. It's in the top of the first. We will give you live updates throughout this entire hour on how this series, this brief series, will end. From then on, this is actually the last home series for the Tigers before the midway point in the All-Star break hits. So when it comes to momentum, this is big for the Tigers. This is pretty big. I don't think anybody's catching the Cleveland Indians, though. The Indians are playing the best baseball in the game right now. You have to be smiling if you are a Cleveland fan right now. Your NBA team just won an NBA championship. Your baseball team is lights out. You have to be smiling. You have to be smiling. And the Tigers right now, they are 7.5 games in back of the Indians, and the Indians show no signs of slowing up. So, as I stated, I think the Detroit Tigers will finish somewhere around 500, preferably above 500, because there are a lot of holes in the boat right now, to say the least. You just don't know what you're getting on a game-by-game basis anymore. So call in. What do you think of the Detroit Tigers? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. How do you think the Tigers will finish up the second half of the year? Do you think this is a team that will finish above 500? Do you think this is a team that will somehow rally to compete in the American League Central against the Indians? Well, what do you think? Call in. We'll take your calls. We are, of course, we'll read your comments via facebook.com/currentsports, or you can even tweet me at Al Martin. WKAR. And right now for the Tigers, they are, of course, sending out to the mound Daniel Norris, who makes his second start of the season for Detroit in today's series finale against the Marlins. And again, he allowed 3 runs on 6 hits over 5 innings last Thursday. So we'll keep you updated on that game. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will be chatting with DeShawn Tate, sports host and producer for CBS Radio 92.9 The Game out in Atlanta, Georgia. That and so much more. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy, happy hump day. Got to give you guys a heads up that I will be away from the mic, unfortunately. Bittersweet. Never like saying goodbye to you guys whenever the holiday rolls around, but much needed vacay, I must say. tomorrow and on Friday, due to the July 4th holiday, I will be in Detroit for my family reunion. So we will be rolling in a best of for Thursday and Friday. As you all know, Current Sports engineer Isaac Constance is away for the holiday starting today. He is out in Washington. He will be out in Washington for the July 4th weekend. And, of course, we will also have a best of on Monday's Current Sports. Monday is the holiday, July 4th holiday. So we will have a best of on Monday as well. So tomorrow, Friday, and Monday will all be best of shows. So if you need to get caught up on all of the Current Sports radio fun, if you haven't been able to tune in recent weeks, you're in luck. All right. So it's not like we're going completely away. We'll be back live on Tuesday. And also want to give a big shout out to Seth Kinker, longtime Current Sports production assistant and engineer who is filling in so graciously for us on today's show. Seth, you're doing well, my friend. How you feeling?
Good, man. How you doing?
Very good. This is your first show. Pretty pumped. Well, I must say, because Seth, we've had discussions about this before we move on and get to our guest for today's show. I know he's on the line right now, but I want to bring this up because Seth, yourself and I, we are our big TV fanatics, right? And we had an elongated conversation about which I believe is the best television show on TV right now in Game of Thrones. And we had a big conversation about the finale that took place on Sunday night. And I must say, you know, looking at this entire body of work for Game of Thrones, where do you rank Game of Thrones on your all-time favorite TV shows list?
It's got to be at least top three, definitely.
It's top three. So what makes your top three? I'm curious.
House of Cards.
Okay.
On Netflix. That one. And then an old sitcom that I watched called Everybody Loves Raymond.
Oh, Everybody Loves Raymond makes your all-time top three list.
Yeah.
We would have a debate about that that could last up to an hour, right? We won't do that today, but I did what you're saying. I told you have to watch The Wire, all right? The Wire, to me, is the Michael Jordan of television shows. For those out there who have never watched The Wire, it's a show that took place in the early 2000s. And to me, The Wire set the standard for every great television show or series that would come after, okay? The Wire, to me, Seth, you got to check it out, all right?
It's on the list.
Yeah, that has to be at the top of the list, all right? But Game of Thrones is good. It makes my top five of all time, I must say. It is that good. And we're not like those other shows out there. I'm not going to give you guys spoilers, all right? I won't do that. Just check out Game of Thrones. It's one of the best out there. All right, speaking of one of the best out there, we have on the line right now our dear friend who knows his stuff. His name is Deshaun Tate, sports host and producer for CBS Radio 92.9 The Game out in Atlanta, Georgia. Deshaun, how you doing, my friend? Always good chatting with you.
Man, I'm outstanding. Thank you for having me on the show. Really appreciate it, as it always is, getting the opportunity to be on with you, Al.
You know it, my friend. Now, you've always done a great job out there in Atlanta, and you've been following the NBA draft and free agency relatively closely here. Now, I want to dive right into the conversation of the two Spartans that were taken in last week's NBA draft. And we all know about Denzel Valentine. I mean, he was a part of the cream of the crop in this year's NBA draft. He was taken 14th overall to the Chicago Bulls. We'll get to Denzel in just a second. But I want to bring up an interesting discussion concerning Deontay Davis, who went one and done with the Michigan State men's basketball program. He was slated to be anywhere from 15 to 22 in the first round of this year's draft. And every mock draft I saw, actually, Deontay Davis was, quote unquote, supposedly, he was supposed to go before Denzel Valentine in this year's NBA draft. What were your thoughts when you saw Deontay drop all the way to the second round? He was the first pick of the second round. He was taken by the Boston Celtics. That pick was actually traded to the Memphis Grizzlies. But what were your thoughts watching this young man just really go through a moment of uneasiness, to say the least?
Well, Al, I don't know if you recall this, but there was a time when I was on my way to Michigan some weeks ago, and we had this exact same conversation. And I really felt like Deontay Davis was not ready. I really didn't. And, you know, I can only imagine what was really going through his mind at the time, but I hope it's okay for me to speak for the bulk of Spartans fans who are really in tune and in-depth knowledgeable about basketball, and especially players coming from Michigan State and just having an eye for talent, especially when you're talking about making the transition from the collegiate game to the professional game and knowing that he just was not ready. I mean, what you saw was a lot of drafting on potential, what a player can be 3 and 4 years down the line, and really just being one of those, you know, prospects. But I didn't really see him going lottery as far as his readiness of the NBA game, not even in comparison to Denzel Valentine, because I think that it's okay to say that Denzel is a lot more ready. Of course, one guy is probably 19, the other guy is right around 22 or so. So you can only expect those things. But, you know, Deontay Davis has things that you really don't have an opportunity to teach. He has the wingspan, he has the length, he has the size, and everybody thought coming into Michigan State, he probably was a bit too thin to be playing right away. And even then, you saw him put on some weight and put on some pounds and still be able to display his athletic ability, his shot blocking ability, his rebounding ability. And I believe that his offensive game definitely needed a bit more work. But I think that Deontay Davis looked so impressively during the times he did at Michigan State. And this isn't a knock on him, but I really believe that he looked as impressive as he did because the opposing defenders didn't have to worry about guys like him. They were more focused on the three-point shooting, guys like Ford, guys like Valentine. And so when a lot of those shots were coming off of the back of the rim, that's when you saw Deontay Davis come in with offensive rebounds and putbacks and dunks and so on and so forth. It's a very unfortunate situation for this guy, although we can't really down-talk Deontay Davis in this situation, because I like to think if any of us are 18, 19 years old coming from Muskegon, which I'm not in his family business by any means, but I still like to think that in a family situation where you can use the money and you then become the front runner or the breadwinner of your entire family and generations to come in a similar situation, it's almost as if that I can't see any of us turning away guaranteed money after only working out for the top 19 in the draft.
And for me, Deshaun, this was a situation with a young man who had way too many family members and friends in his ear saying, dude, you can instantly make millions. You can instantly go to the NBA and become a star. Why wait? Don't wait. Development, ha! Make the move now and forever change your life. He had way too many people in his ear, family and friends alike, who were telling him these things and selling him this dream, and he bought it. And you know what? I found it so telling that there was a moment where you saw in the draft as Deontay Davis's stock began to just plummet. You saw a head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball program, Tom Izzo, immediately get on his phone and start to make some calls to try and convince, you know, personnel, coaches and GMs in the league that, hey, you need to take my guy. Friday morning, Izzo called his four-player freshman class into his office to caution them about believing mock drafts and online pundits. And I want to get your thoughts on what he had to say, Deshaun. This is what Izzo said Friday afternoon on a teleconference. Quote, I just talked to them, talking about his four-player freshman class, about this, and this is why. You don't believe the media. Don't believe the draft experts. Understand this is a business. It's the NBA. The people that are picking are the coaches and the GMs and the owners. So I did get that point across, because already we got guys talking about next year in the media, end quote. What do you think about Izzo's comments concerning the media, mock drafts, and selling a young kid a dream that may or may not come true?
I think that he did the right thing by expressing to these kids, and you know, the of being cautious about the NBA draft, you know, and for this class coming in. It just so happens to be that there's no excuses. Deontay Davis, they're sitting there watching it as four incoming freshmen. It is the perfect example as to, you know, how you can get caught up in just what the media has to say about you. I mean, the part I hate the most is what the NBA draft has become. The NBA and the NBA draft was originally designed and put in place to make teams better out the gate. Now, if I'm not mistaken, there's only one team in the top 10 picks of the draft this year that went to the playoffs and actually had an appearance, and that team picked at number 9 as being the Toronto Raptors. So the NBA draft is supposed to be built around, not built around tanking, and instead built around bringing in guys right away that can help contribute to to having winning seasons and at least being able to, you know, make the playoffs for that matter. So,
Deshaun may have cut out there, Seb. Let's try to get him back on the line. Just shoot him a call back. But are you there? Are you there now? Deshaun. Okay, we'll give him a call back, Seth. But again, where Deshaun was going with that spiel is, you know, when you, and I see where he's going. If you look at the top 10 picks, again, the Raptors, the team, you know, are really the only team in the top 10 that that made the playoffs last year. And when you evaluate the player and personnel that you take, you want to make sure that those players are as NBA ready as possible if you are in the top 10, because it's all about a win now mentality. And Deontay Davis still has some ways to go. I'm being said right now that we do have Deshaun back on the line. Deshaun, are you back?
I'm back. Sorry about that.
No, you're fine. No, you're fine. Go ahead. Finish that point you were making.
I think that instead of it being about guys that can come in and contribute right away to help teams be better and make playoff appearances, it's become more about tanking. It's become more about, you know, putting guys in there for 3-4 years and things of that nature. A lot of times you have to remember, there's this thing called the MBDL that's getting way too crowded with players such as a Deontay Davis, where they get set down and get really lost and can never see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's very, very unfortunate. And I think Izzo's trying to do the right thing by, you know, suggesting that guys stay a little bit longer. And it's really hard for the students as well. See, we're on the outside looking in saying, hey, you know, it's obvious that this guy's not ready. But when you have some of the people who have been in your corner your entire life, not just Tom Izzo and coaching staff, but your family that's telling you you're ready and you need to go for it. We saw the exact same thing with Marcus Taylor back in 2000, where we heard Charles Barkley and amongst many other people say, had he stayed one more year, we would be looking at a guaranteed lottery pick. Mm-hmm. But he took the advice of a whole different kind of people. So regardless of the fact, you've got people in your ear telling you to go get millions. I can't imagine any of us actually turning down that millions either, considering the circumstances our family may or may not be in. But at the end of the day, Al, I think that it's awesome what Tom Izzo is doing, because on the other side of that, he could be like Coach Calipari and say, hey, my whole roster from 1 all the way to 12, go out there and enter your name.
Definitely, folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Deshaun Tate, sports reporter and producer for CBS Radio 92.9, The Game in Atlanta, Georgia. Deshaun, and you bring up an interesting point about the NBA DL, the D-League. And I've always found it interesting because you have a lot of coaches that are college coaches that are a bit wary of the D-League. And you know, they look at the D-League and say, okay, if you're going to go to the D-League, why not just play college ball and hone your game right at a great Division I college? But I've always looked at it like this, and this is my lens. Why doesn't the D-League and college basketball in the NCAA collaborate more to make sure that if you are going to go to the D-League, that it's in the best position as possible? What I mean by that is, why don't some of these college players who are thinking about going one and done test their waters in the D-League first before making that decision to jump to the NBA draft? I just would like to see the D-League and Division I colleges, I would like to see those two entities collaborate more to make sure that these young men are put in the best position possible as they make that leap or to try and make that leap to the pros.
I'd like to see that happen as well, Al. I don't think that's a bad idea, though I know that there's been some dates put in place as to that have been moved around quite a bit as to, you know, when guys have to be able to have their decisions made amongst, you know, when they can pull their name, when they can, you know, decide to enter their name after pulling. Same thing with hiring an agent and so on and so forth.
Right.
But I think the only conflict from that would probably be, you know, these are guys that are getting paid in the D League versus guys who are not getting paid. So how do you kind of measure that in between, you know, because there's going to be guys who are leaving college that are saying, hey, you know, I'm playing up against some of the best competition. If I'm going to if I'm going to show all of what I got, I want to be compensated for it, and not even just saying that, but if I'm also going to be exploiting my weakness at the same time, I want to be getting paid for it. You can take that example with a Deontay Davis. You can take that example for a guy like Scal Labissiere, who I think has definitely put his weaknesses out there already enough as he did in Lexington this past year, but even more so go out there and put them on display even more against D-League talent just so that he can try and make a roster for the NBA, and it'll expose him a little bit more, which I don't think would likely play into his favor or Deontay Davis for that matter.
I want to talk about the Atlanta Hawks briefly here, specifically one player in mind who, of course, in 2000, him and his family moved to the Lansing, Michigan area where he attended Grand Ledge High School in Grand Ledge, Michigan. That player, of course, is Al Horford. And there's a lot of conversation surrounded around Al Horford, who is currently a member of the Atlanta Hawks, but he is a free agent now. And there are many teams that are slated to talk with Horford to try and woo him to their roster. And I'm seeing here the latest report, the Boston Celtics are going to try and acquire Horford in free agency, which starts on Friday. Do you think Al wants to stay with the Hawks roster long term to possibly finish out his career?
I think he's probably straddling the fence between the two. There's no doubt in my mind, especially for as long as he's been here, they've been loyal to him. He's been loyal to the Atlanta Hawks organization. But maybe realistically, he's seen himself maybe not winning a championship here in Atlanta, especially considering Atlanta doesn't necessarily draft the best. You would think that Atlanta being the market that it is, sure, it's not a Boston, sure, it's not a L.A., but, you know, it is also Atlanta, nightlife, great education, you know, for guys who come here to play professional sports and their kids and wives and nice weather and so on and so forth. But they don't land those big-time players in free agency. And then you just ship Teague out of the door as well to Indiana. And it looks like that's an exchange for Taurean Prince with the number 12 pick, it seems as if. So with that being said, I mean, you have to look at the spectrum as a whole. Al Horford has been playing center in this town ever since he's arrived. And I'm not sure he's really the biggest fan of doing that. At the same time, he feels like he deserves a max contract. He will likely get a max contract from somewhere. I think the Atlanta Hawks will ultimately offer it to him. But in the same token, when talking about a guy like Al Horford, he wants the max. But pinpoint, you got swept 2 years in a row by the Cleveland Cavaliers. And, you know, in this past series against the Cleveland Cavaliers, he gave me 10 points and 4 rebounds in one game and 10 points and 3 rebounds in another game and turns around and asks for a max. So I'm not really sure if I'm willing to pay him that kind of money, but I definitely think that his time here could possibly be done. And if so, who knows where he may land, even possibly with Detroit. But, you know, I'd like to see I have definitely the best wishes for Al Horford and his family moving forward.
Yeah, certainly. And before we get you out of here, Deshaun, do you think that Al is one of the most underrated big men that we have in the game today? Because, again, you look at what he did in the playoffs, and, yeah, his numbers were a bit up and down. But overall, you know, he's a guy that can give you a good, you know, what, 15 and 7 or 8 on any given night. And he's a guy who can take you inside, outside. He's got great fundamentals in the paint. He's a team player. He's not a guy who's going to cause any disruption in the locker room. I've had in my brief interactions with him when he's had his basketball camps here in Grand Ledge, he seems like just an overall great guy. Do you think Al is a bit underrated in today's league?
I do think that he's probably a bit overrated, but the thing I like about Al is consistency. He's a bit underrated,
right.
But I do think that Al, you know exactly what you're getting with Al. He's going to come in, he's going to rebound, he's going to play fundamental basketball, he's going to play very basic, he's got a mid-range jump shot, he's got a baseline jump shot. This past year, he starts stretching it out more towards the three-point line. I'm not the biggest advocate of him doing that this late in his career. But the bad part is that everything is going downhill for Al Horford right now at a time that he's asking for a max contract. This is going to be his very last big contract here in the NBA. For what he's able to give you as a starter on any team, I like the things that Al Horford can bring. The unfortunate side of that is that you've already you've already probably seen the very best of Al Horford and what he can give you, but yet still, great guy, like you said. Unfortunately, great guys won't get you rings and hang banners in the Raptors, but one thing Al Horford does, he brings his hard hat every night. He's going to bring that lunch pail, and he's going to go hard each and every single night to get his team a win, and you cannot turn down the guy who has the kind of mentality and the game to match it that he does. Because although he's not ultra-athletic type of guy, especially this late in his career, the things he can give you fundamentally sound and very basic basketball can work out for any organization in the NBA.
Yeah, I think he's one of the best all-around big men we have in the game today. All right, there you have it. DeShawn Tate, sports reporter and producer for CBS Radio 92.9 FM, The Game in Atlanta, Georgia. DeShawn, how can people read and listen to your work?
92.9 The Game, the website. Check me out. I've got all kind of articles posted there. I've got some more coming out tonight as well as later on this week on some free agency as well as Pat Summit and what you can look forward to within the NBA and college basketball. So that's 92.9thegame.com, 929thegame.com, that is. And, of course, on Twitter at Tate's Take Sports, TateesTake Sports.
DeShawn, great job, my man. Always good chatting with you. You have a great summer, all right?
Thanks. You do the same. I'll see you in a few weeks.
You got it, my man. Oh, DeShawn, he does a fantastic job. I want to ask you, Seth, I know you're a big follower of the NBA. What do you think Kevin Durant is going to do when Friday's free agency in the NBA starts? Do you think he's staying with OKC, or do you think he's taking his talent somewhere else?
I mean, you talked about it yesterday, the amount of money they can offer him, and I think that's a factor, but at the same time, like, there's talks about his ties to the city, how he loves it there, but at the same time, have they had any success? No, and I know they just made that trade, but that's got to weigh on the decision as well. You want to win championships, that's the reason for being in the league, so I think that it might be, the money's a factor, no doubt, but he's come out before and said that's not a big deal. I mean, it's the difference between $177 million and the $236 that they can offer him. Mm-hmm. And that's still a substantial amount of money, whichever way you look at it. So I think the decision might be more on where he could think maybe he could get a ring.
Yeah, exactly. And I think when you look at OKC, though, and I would argue this point, I mean, OKC is a team in the Western Conference Finals that had a 3-1 lead over the Golden State Warriors. They were this close. From going to the NBA Finals and competing against LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers and would have had a good shot to beat the Cavs, to be honest. And I just look at the entire spectrum, you know, and you had a 3-1 lead over the Golden State Warriors, a team that went 73-9 throughout the regular season and you ideally blew it. But at the same time, they're so close. They're so close. So if he goes somewhere else, I mean, there will be a rebuilding period where you have to, you know, mix in the chemistry and so on and so forth. But again, these guys are also businessmen at the end of the day. And I think that Kevin Durant wants to get paid. I mean, who doesn't, at the end of the day? And I think right. When you look at Roc Nation always prides itself on saying that we have the highest paid athlete in all of sports. Yeah. You better believe that Jay-Z and his personnel are sitting there saying, yeah, we want to get the best deal for you when it comes to your wallet as well. At the end of the day, I think KD stays. I think that he, you know, signs a short-term two-year contract with the Thunder with an opportunity to opt out after year one. And dollar bill. I think the money will rein in, though, because OKC can pay him a lot of money. Right. All right. Well, thanks so much to Seth Kinker, our engineer for today's show. First time engineer. You did a great job, Seth. Thanks so much to DeShawn Tate of CBS Radio 92.9 FM, The Game out in Atlanta, Georgia. And to all of you out there for tuning in to today's current sports with me, Al Martin. Right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care, have a fantastic holiday, and be easy, people.